Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, go shout it on the mountain. Go think about it, too. That's what St. Paul tells us to do, and we'd like to talk about it. That's what we do on Call Me Catholic. Talk about the good, the glorious. It's the Advent season, so we should be rejoicing with quiet expectation about the good news of Christ's impending arrival. A blessed Advent to you all. And I'm just going to say Merry Christmas. It's the greeting of the season. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern Advent times so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh, yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G is in the house with me. He's my trusty engineer and chief fact checker. He puts the ho, ho, ho in the Christmas holidays. Cheers to you, Jimmy G.
Cheers to you. I'm busy over here checking facts.
I'm going to give you some facts. We got to guess whose facts you're going to have to check. She's coming up later in the hour, but you're going to earn your money today.
I've got a high-powered laptop to check those facts.
And fast fingers. Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the sparkling Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. We are the Diocese of Orange, nestled in between the parched and windswept Los Angeles and San Diego counties. You know, last week I talked about the fires that were raging here in the Southland, and I can't say they're all under containment yet. Many have been subdued, but the Thomas Fire out there in Ventura County is still an issue threatening those beautiful homes in Santa Barbara and Montecito. It's just so inexplicably dry out here. We're like the Sahara Desert in December. It's very uncomfortable, unprecedented high temperatures, below negative humidity.
It's chapstick weather.
It is. Yeah. It's really, there are words that I have learned to absolutely dread in the weather forecast now. You know, the words warming trend. So we've got clear skies in the 80s, low 80s with easterly winds coming through the valley and warming trends in the immediate forecast with no foreseeable rain. So I've been praying for rain.
You know, one word I've never understood in regards to weather is mild. When someone says it's mild, what does that mean?
It's gentle. It's not going to hit you over the head.
Mild.
It's not going to knock you down.
It's like salsa, you know, mild.
Who wants mild salsa? Pooey.
Right.
That's New York salsa. So I really have been praying for the gift of rain this Christmas. After all, it's a season of gift giving and receiving. So I am putting in my request. Dear Santa, please consider a little rainfall for the Southland. I've been a very good girl.
Amen.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Wait, someone's raising an objection to my stating I've been a very good girl. Gifts are on the mind this time of year. We're going to try to make sure we have everybody on our list covered, which is kind of ambitious. Maybe you've adopted a very lean gift exchange policy with your friends and family. That's very practical and healthy. Maybe you exchange gifts of a different nature, like homemade items or acts of charity. There are lots of ways to engage in the practice of gifting. And we're going to talk about the art of gift giving on today's show. It certainly is the season to do that. Little children out there are hoping that Santa brings them something special in honor of Jesus' birthday. Isn't it cool that we get presents on Jesus' birthday?
Mm.
I mean, who else do you know that would say, hey, it's my birthday, I want you to have some presents.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's very generous of him. So that's where we're going today. And we have a couple of guests to help us explore that theme. Rochelle Carmody is the founder of Apud Deum Gifts and Decor, a very unique accessory line crafted right here in Orange County. She also designs this stunning collection of sacramentals and organic gemstones used as meditation accessories by mystics and sages throughout the ages.
Mm.
And it's not too late to order from her website for someone special on your gift. So Rochelle will be up in a minute to tell us how to do that. And she's going to talk to us about the spiritual philosophy behind her beautiful, beautiful products. And then I have a gift for my listeners. Sister Merry Christmas is going to drop by the studio and test my knowledge of all things Advent. Now, I've known Sister Merry Christmas most of my life. She taught me many things. And I never know when she's going to pop up and put my feet to the fire. So I look forward to introducing you to her later in the show. Oh, you don't want to miss this, my friends. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then finally, I'm going to have a chat with Greg Gumishian, who runs the gift department for Reddit. Now, Reddit is a huge online community of people who chat with each other anonymously. about lots and lots of different subjects. And the company established one of those secret Santa gift exchanges for their users, which has yielded some really uplifting results about human beings, as it turns out, about human beings' inclination to spread joy and generosity during the Christmas season. So stay tuned for my conversation with Greg Gumishian from Reddit. But first up, it is the Call Me Catholic Countdown, which this week, in honor of the gift of Christmas, which is coming up, I'm going to list some of my favorite things in the Christmas season. Now, this is not Oprah's list of favorite things, and it's not Julie Andrews' Raindrops on Roses and Whiskers on Kittens. Although I might like some raindrops on roses in our local neighborhood, but no whiskers on kittens.
I would just think to myself, is in this show, we're not chatting anonymously. People know who we are.
Yeah, we have to take full credit for right. who we are and what we represent. Okay, so here we go. My Call Me Catholic Countdown of the Week. A few of my favorite things during the Christmas season, five to be exact.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
It would be fun to have kind of a Joy to the World version of that.
Or some jingle bells or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll do that next week. We got one more show till Christmas. Okay. So number five in my list of my favorite things during the Christmas time are carolers. I love carolers. Now, there are two varieties of carolers, Christmas carolers. There's the very professional variety that you see in the restaurants dressed in the old English Dickens kind of costumes, and they come in and they're very harmonized. And then you have the kind of homespun carolers. Now, my friend and I, my dearest old friend who was visiting me last night, we went and caroled at my mom's house, my mom and sister's house.
Nice.
We showed up at their doorstep and we sang a rather humble version of Joy to the World.
Where people were saying, what's that racket out there?
And they invited us in for a cup of cheer.
Nice.
And that's the idea. Last year we were having some friends over, and there was a knock at our door. We opened the door, and their neighbors were caroling for us.
Nice.
I just love that. I think that's just the most charming tradition. Okay, number four on my list of favorite things, where I love seeing people in Santa hats during this time of year. Nice. It's just kind of cheerful. It gives you a little friendly nod to the season, rather than this rushed sort of manic look. You know, it's just kind of like remembering we're all going to be Santa's.
Just not the priest at Mass.
No. Please, no, verboten, Father. But Santa hat. Do you ever put a Santa hat on?
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah,
sure.
It's kind of fun. It just kind of cheers you up right away. Yeah. Okay, number three is I love the Christmas cards of the season. I love getting them and studying them, reading the letters, looking at the family pictures, enjoying the very many different beautiful images of the Madonna and Child, or the Nativity scene, other different religious imagery from the season. I love that. So that's really fun, and I put them all up on display. And when our boys come home for Christmas, they take so much time to go through each card and look at them
nice.
And see, you know, what this person's doing. So I have collections of them from the last, you know, 30 years, and it's really fun to receive
nice.
Those and to plan your own. My number two favorite thing from the season, I love the Salvation Army bell ringers. Mm. I just love that. That is one of the only sort of people that stand outside markets and stores and department malls that I don't resent when they kind of come up and ask for donations. You know, they just stand there in their uniform with their little bell. I mean, they've been doing that for decades, and it's so charming. They just ring their bell, and they always have the most beautiful, pleasant personalities. I've never dropped a bill into one of their kettles that they don't say, thank you, God bless you.
No, I assume they're all over North America, aren't they?
I would think so. Yeah, the Salvation Army is
certainly. They certainly have a presence here in the Southland.
They do. Oh, but they're very much national. I think they're on the streets of New York right now.
Right,
they're in Chicago,
right.
Boston. They're all over. And I hope they yield great profits and much donation, because they do a lot of good work. Okay, my number one favorite thing of the season would be the creche scenes. I love the different images of the creche, of course, originally conceived by St. Francis, but the little scenes of all the people there surrounding the manger.
Mm.
I was visiting someone in a retirement community, a very lively retirement community, the other day, and they had a beautiful creche scene in their lobby. And this is not a Christian retirement home necessarily, mm-hmm. but it was beautiful. And I loved it when cities used to do it. The city of Santa Monica used to have a beautiful big life-size creche that they would have out on their green space. They don't anymore. No. That got I think Jane Fonda did away with that one. But I love it. And be sure to have one in your home. Every home should have a creche scene during the Christmas season. Okay, so those are just a few of my favorite things during the Christmas season, five of them to be exact. And I'm sure you have your favorite things. I hope you will consider making our Facebook page one of your favorite things, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Give us a like and join the family. That can be your gift to us this Christmas.
I saw what you did there as the Julie Andrews drop. Just a few of my favorite things.
Yeah, that was the whole idea of it. But not Whiskers on Kittens. I never really understood why that became a Christmas song, by the way. Huh. I mean, brown paper packages wrapped up in string doesn't scream Christmas to me. Snowflakes that fall on my nose and eyelashes, maybe. But it's kind of associated with Christmas, and I don't quite know
I'm
why.
The chief fact checker. I better look that up.
Yeah, the number one fact of the day there for you, Jimmy G. Okay, we'll be right back with Rochelle Carmody from Appa Deum Gifts. So settle in with us for the whole hour, won't you? I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Ho, ho, ho. Welcome back to Call Me Catholic, kids. I am Peggy Normandin, and I should be saying actually, oh, 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 this time of year, because we are approaching the Advent season of the O antiphons, sung during the octave before Christmas Eve. These are the seven antiphons which begin with O, like O rising sun, and address Jesus with a unique title that comes from the prophecies of Isaiah and Micah, a very ancient tradition of our faith. My guest today probably knows all about that because she uses our spiritual history and traditions to inspire all the designs in her very unique line of accessories and decor. Rochelle Carmody is the founder of Appa Deum, a thoughtful and quite stunning collection of sacramentals and organic gemstones which have been used as meditation accessories by mystics and sages throughout the ages. Isn't that fascinating? Rochelle Carmody, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you were able to come in during such a busy retail season. Now, let's get to the name right away. The name of your company is called Appa Deum, which means?
Basically, it's Latin for with God or oriented toward God in all things.
Okay. And this jewelry line is all oriented toward God. I have to say, kids, this is such a beautiful collection of unique vintage looking, but they have a modern sort of appeal to them. So, Rochelle, you've been telling me that you were originally a professional jewelry designer. So that is how you learned the craft.
Yes.
And what kind of jewelry were you producing originally?
It was basically gemstones and precious metals with the historical aspects of the pagan religions. This is kind of during a period of my life when I had fallen away from the Catholic faith. So most of the gemstones that I learned about were from the Roman perspective, the Roman pagan perspective, or the Greeks, or the Aztecs.
So, there was sort of a superstition involved with them in a bit, too.
Exactly.
But they were successful, and you were selling a lot of them.
Yes.
So at what point did you decide, well, this could have actual spiritual relevance if I use it in a Christian context? And there are stones that have relevance in the Christian context. How did you make that leap from doing the sort of pagan or secular jewelry into using that same style and actually bringing faith into it?
I came back to my faith, and I came back to the sacraments, and then I was introduced to a couple of just phenomenal Bible studies locally here, and I didn't realize that the gemstones were from the Bible. And then it sort of opened up to reading about the doctors of the church and what they had to say about the different books of the Bible. And in doing so, these different writings, different saints and doctors of the church, they would write about the gemstones. So that's when I was first introduced to it.
Well, you say on your website, on one of the pages, you say, in the beginning, God created angels as oracles of his light and gemstones to reflect this light. And then you have nine gemstones of the angelic order. So how is that actually cited in scripture that certain stones relate to certain levels of the angels, like the cherubim or the seraphim?
Well, that comes from Ezekiel, and St. Gregory the Great explains in one of his homilies, he says, behold, he mentions the name of nine stones since there are nine perfect orders of angels. And then if you go to the Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox Church really there's a lot of writings on the angels. So on my website, if you go on the angel page, there's a lot of things written about the orders of the angels in addition to St. Gregory the Great.
Yeah, we have to take the angels back from the New Age.
Exactly. Yeah.
There actually is a beautiful history and factual, scripturally factual story background on the angels. Now, so how do you incorporate that into jewelry, or is it more decor?
One of the doctors of the church, St. Hildegard of Bingen, she wrote about the different stones. So I took her stone, the stones that she wrote about, and I have a web page with different designs revolving around that stone. More importantly, the stones from the breastplate of judgment, from the high priest Aaron's breastplate. Aaron was, and so there are designs revolving around all of those gemstones. and then also the 12 gemstones from the Book of Revelation of the heavenly Jerusalem.
So they actually were designated by God as being points of inspiration and meditation for us.
Yes.
So let's say we acquire a piece of your jewelry. Let's say it's sort of like an amulet. Okay, you call them amulets, which are beautiful pins that you can wear. Are the amulets the pins?
The amulets are usually worn around the neck.
Oh, worn around the neck. Okay. Now, how do we wear these sacramentals and give them the honor that they deserve and not treat them like they're a talisman or a little good luck charm?
Well, these are packaged, so you can give these as gifts to Catholics or non-Catholics. My website's really geared toward non-Catholics, to sort of introduce different devotions. And you can actually package these Catholic devotions in a way that appeals to the secular market. So if people know the history behind it, people are often drawn to history. Sometimes the attraction to the history draws them to the devotion itself. Mm-hmm. And then I also mentioned that if you'd like to have this, to have this blessed by a Catholic priest and where they can go and they can attend the mass as well, and then they will receive a blessing themselves, et cetera. So it's kind of subtly introducing the sacraments along the way and mm-hmm. just.
I have to say, in your collection, which is so stunning, and again, the site is Apudeum, APUDDEUM, apudeum.com. But they have she has these very decorative, like little safety pins, and from which a little medal or a charm, a saint charm, hangs. And they have a little vintage feel to them, but they have a very modern sort of look. But they remind me very much of something like in the 1940s, women would have worn on their lapels or something. They're so, so handsome, done in such exquisite taste. I mean, clearly you really have a gift for the design, and then you've infused it with this incredible spiritual knowledge that you have. You also have a great devotion to the green scapular, don't you, Rochelle?
Yes, and it's very easy to make your own green scapulars.
But let's explain to our listeners what the green scapular is, what it represents. Because some people know a scapular, but they may not know specifically the green scapular.
Okay, so there's a society for the green scapular. If you Google it, they can explain it much better than I can. But basically, there was a revelation in 19th century France by the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the way the green scapular works is it can be as tiny as you would like for it to be. And you can hide it in something that you give as a gift to somebody. And they can receive the benefits from the scapular through your confidence and prayer behind the scapular. So all of these things only work with prayer. I mean, they're not magic talismans or anything. So it's the confidence and the prayer that you pray for that person. For example, let's say you're giving them a baseball cap. You could sew the green scapular inside the lining of the baseball cap and give it to them as a gift and pray this prayer for them. And many miracles have been attributed to this. And if you email me, I can send you a template it's very easy to make your own green scapulars at home. And
what is your email address, Rochelle?
So it's adproductinfo@gmail.com.
Okay, and I'll list that up on our website as well. So if you wanted to get an immediate gift, like a gift certificate, and you wanted to get it in time for Christmas, this would be the way to contact them. Okay, contact Rochelle. But first go to the website, which is adumdeum.com, and check out not just the product line, but all the incredible history and research that she's done. It's very educational as well as, enjoyable to shop through. What is your favorite product that you've designed so far in the collection?
Well, there's a prayer locket that has the onyx stone, and the onyx stone was used in the ephod part of the breastplate of judgment. And the Hebrew name for onyx means flock, as in, we are all, God is our shepherd and we are his flock, and so we turn to him constantly. So there's a whole Hebrew meaning behind that, and it's, of course, Catholic. So, yeah, that's
your favorite one. Yeah. And what was the very first product you designed for this line, Autumn Deum?
Well, there's a little medallion that says, Come Holy Spirit in Latin, Veni Sancte Spiritus. And I really like that product. That was one of my first medallions. And you can give that to somebody with that prayer. So it's like a little meditation, and it's not really overtly religious.
It's cool too. I mean, we like it when it can be spiritual and cool. so it works with you. It doesn't scream out like, oh, this is a religious item. It just kind of complements things, and it creates a certain conversation piece for people to look at. Now, each one of the purchases that you make on Autumn Deum is gift boxed with a card listing its meditative qualities.
Yes. And then if you have somebody, I do a lot of custom work. So you know, you can put your specifications and say, oh, this is for somebody who's Jewish. Please, can you, you know, make it for them, reword it, or somebody who's very non-religious or somebody who's very Catholic. And you can also add, there's two sacramentals, the St. Benedict medal and the Miraculous medal that I have in really tiny forms. So you can, we can put them on the clasp, and the people that you're giving them to, you can have it blessed after you buy it from me from a priest, but then you can give it to somebody, but then it's not really, you know, maybe the person you're giving it to won't really know the religious blessing that's coming with it.
But they get some of the residual value of it because you're praying, you've infused it with prayer that you're giving off to them too, right?
Yeah. And a lot of the saints, they like Saint Teresa of Calcutta, she used, it was said that she gave the Miraculous Medal, you know, gave it out to everybody. So I think
you told a beautiful story before we were, before the show started about how, at someone's bedside when they're dying, sometimes they're surrounded by family that have no faith, and you can leave for your loved ones, medals that have been blessed and have significance. You had that experience.
Yeah, I have. I know a lot of people who have. You know, you always meet people when somebody, usually elderly, dies. A lot of times, if they're devout Catholic, a lot of the children have fallen away. So, you can actually. One lady I know, she wanted to give the green scapular to her loved ones after she passed away, and so you can do this, and you can also give them. You can encourage people, you know, to give these as gifts to their loved ones, and then the four-way medal, you know, it can be blessed as well and given with the green scapular. And you can make it into a little frame or just a little memento, but it's also giving something that's blessed, and you can pray for that person. So hopefully, you know, that can be a moment of maybe conversion.
Very enduring memory. You know, a lot of people do, you know, that are not particularly faith-filled, they have a relative that really made an impression on them. And sometimes they make a more lasting impression after they've passed on. And their prayer life, their faith lives as a model for them. So if they have that little something, that token that sort of reminds them of that, then it can continue to sort of rebuild their faith life. So I think that's lovely. Yeah, I love to see, you know, our show is called Call Me Catholic. I love to see emblems of our faith. I love to see people wear them, and they're sources of evangelizing without sort of standing on a corner and holding up a John 3:16 sign. You know, it really is a source of conversation, and conversation is really the key to passing our faith on, to helping people with their questions. I think it's beautiful. Again, and the other thing I wanted to mention, without sort of demeaning your product line, is that it is pretty affordable. I mean, these are not extravagant pieces. They look extravagant, but they are, you know, within a good price range of buying a nice piece of jewelry. So, again, we want to encourage you to go check it out. It's really unique, really, really different. It's called Apum Deum, A-D-U-M.
No, A-P-U-D.
Apum Deum.
It comes from the Gospel of John. It's A-P-U-D and then D-E-U-M.
Okay, Apum Deum. It's hard to say is really what it is. And on you go to the website and it's like AD. That might be easier to remember, right? So have sales been sort of robust this season, Rochelle?
Yes, yes.
Spoken as a true salesman right there. Very modest. Check it out. And it's also a great source of information. You know, you can learn. I had no idea that gemstones actually had spiritual significance as designated by God in the Bible. But I really did love your point where you said that God created angels as oracles of light and gemstones to reflect this light. I mean, isn't that a lovely thing to meditate on? So these little things can really help us kind of focus our thoughts on the incredible mysteries of our faith and history of our faith, right?
Yes. And there's a couple of really great Bible studies if you're ever in the Orange County area. One is at St. Michael's Abbey, given by Father Gregory, the last Friday.
We all like to plug our favorite priests. And they're Norbertines. We talk about the Norbertines a lot on our show.
And then there's another Bible study at St. John the Baptist, the second and fourth Saturday morning of the month by Father Andrew.
Okay, but then that's for just the Orange County people. Hey, Rochelle Carmody, thank you for this remarkably deep collection of designs and for your commitment to help us understand better and embrace some of the mysterious and beautiful traditions of our faith. Again, Apum Deum is the website, but if you want to contact her directly, you can do an email to adproductinfo@gmail.com. Okay. When we return, I've got a gift for you. Sister Mary Christmas is dropping by to see how well I remember everything she taught me about Advent and Christmas. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Yeah.
helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, a blessed Advent to you, my friends, and we can say Merry Christmas too, or maybe we shouldn't yet. I am Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, I'd like to introduce you to a special guest who will set us straight on what we should and shouldn't be doing this time of year. Sister Mary Christmas is a self-proclaimed expert on lots of things. I've known her for a long time, and she's always had a profound influence on my perception of what is truth and what is not. And she asked if she could stop by the studio and test whether I remember all the things she taught me in my youth about Advent and the Christmas season. Sister Mary Christmas, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Well, I'm so honored to be here with you, dear.
Now, Sister, can we say Merry Christmas now, or should we be just saying a Blessed Advent?
Oh, I think anything that greets people in a positive and lovely way, I think we should be doing that.
And you always have done that, Sister. So you said you have some questions, some quiz downs for me. And I, you know, I hope you're not going to embarrass me in front of my listeners, Sister Mary.
Oh,
Christmas.
No, dear. That's on you.
Okay. All right. So fire away, Sister. Let's see if I can remember some of the fine things you taught me.
You've already impressed me with your patter in the show so far, and about the fact that Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means arrival.
Arrival.
Not
yes.
Spending a lot of money on gifts that, you know, or the birth of a notable person. It's the coming of our Lord. But here's a question for you. It's a fashion forward question because you were always such that in school with that clutch purse of yours. Anyway.
My knife pleat uniform.
Yes. Well, yeah. And I'm glad to see that that skirt's at an appropriate level around your knee, dear.
Yes.
Anyway.
When you kneel down, it has to touch the ground.
That's right. So the official liturgical color for Advent, what is it, dear?
Well, I believe, Sister Mary Christmas, it's purple, which is the color of prayer and also of penance.
Yes, it is.
Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct, but we have a little exception with the priest for tomorrow. And what's he going to be wearing?
Rose.
Yes.
I like to call it rose instead of pink. That's just a nod to our masculine priests, our male priests.
Right. So I'd like to just say that, the world is turning, and purple is Pantone's color of the year for next year. So
Pantone's color
yes,
of the year.
Yes, it's purple.
Who knew? See, no, the Catholics have more influence than you think.
There you go.
Means we're going into a penitential state of civilization then, which seems entirely appropriate right
okay,
now.
So tomorrow is the third Sunday of Advent. Mm-hmm. So it's Gaudete Sunday. And what does the Pope do on that day? Do you want some choices?
Yes, I'd like some choices, Sister. You were always very fair with us.
Well, yeah, we're going to go to a mystical choice now, not multiple choice, mystical choice, since it's called me Catholic. Anyway, we're going to say, okay, A, what does the Pope going to do tomorrow on Gaudete Sunday? A, sing Silent Night in several languages.
Well, not Pope Francis.
B, no, give the man credit now.
Okay.
B, bless the Christmas candle and all the candles used throughout the year. C, serve coffee and donuts to all who attend Mass. Or D, bless baby Jesus in the children's manger scenes.
Okay, well, I know that...
It's got to be C.
Which C was...
Coffee and donuts.
Coffee and donuts. But that's usually the ladies' guild. That's usually the chapel guild that does that, the ladies' guild.
Right.
And I only say that about Pope Francis is not being able to sing in many languages, because I think he is limited... Corally, and I think he's a little bit limited in his linguist, you know, in the number of languages he knows. So I'm going to eliminate that one. I'm going to say that he blesses the baby Jesus in the manger.
And that would be correct. So,
but Sister, we're not supposed to have baby Jesus in the manger yet.
Well, no, but he blesses them, and then baby Jesus has to be blessed before he appears.
And then he hides him away.
That's okay. Right. Okay. So now we're going to talk about the Advent wreath. And there are four candles on it, and each candle has a special meaning. Which of these is not a meaning for the special four candles?
Okay.
They're hope, patience, peace, and joy.
Okay, well, I know the first candle is the coming candle, is the expectation candle.
Right, the prophet's candle.
The prophet's candle.
Yes.
The second one is the Bethlehem candle, because it's about Mary and Jesus traveling to Bethlehem.
Yes.
The third one, I believe, is the joy, the shepherd's joy.
Yes.
And the fourth one would be the angel's light.
So I'm thinking that patience has everything to do with the season, but nothing to do with the Advent wreath.
And you're right. We need patience, but it's not on the Advent wreath. No, no. All right.
Sister, so by the way, let me ask you a question. You know, since we're talking about candles and you're a very traditional, old fashioned sister, what do you think about those little battery operated candles in the churches? Do you like the actual wax burning ones or is there an exception?
It's my understanding now that what they're doing is that they've got these hollow candles and they're filling them with an oil and they're burning them that way, which is much more safe. So I've got that.
And no dripping wax.
Okay, and no Yankee candles. Yeah, we don't want it. Gingerbread scented candles in church. No, we're not going to be going there.
What do you think about the little battery operated ones?
I don't like them myself.
How about incense scented candles?
No, it can't be
right.
Good.
Right,
incense has to be incense because that's about the only way you can handle incense is if it's authentic. You know, you give that over to the Yankee company. There,
right, right. Okay, so let's talk about as we're continuing with the Advent wreath, dear.
Okay.
So each one of those candles,
sorry,
all four of them, represents something, and it's not the candles on Jesus' birthday cake. So let's scrap that answer right now, okay. Miss Smarty Pants. Okay, so each candle represents what?
Well,
do you know?
I was saying that in the last answer, I think.
But it represents a time, a unit
of
time.
Four weeks before Christmas.
No. So here's one. I've got one on you.
Okay.
Each candle represents 1,000 years because it was 4,000 years from Adam and Eve that we waited for Christ's birth. And that's where the patience comes in. So I think there should be a patience candle, but so there you go.
That may be a battery operated one.
No, it's not battery operated. All right. Now let's talk about this one.
Well, sister, thank you. That's enlightening as you continue to enlighten.
Okay. Good pun, dear. Good pun. Yeah. The enlightening. Okay. We're moving on. Okay. True or false? You should fast during Advent.
Okay. Well, Advent is called the mini Lent. And we do fast during Lent. So maybe a little bit of fasting during Advent is probably very beneficial.
Well, the bishops suggest that we do. But, you know, they
like... the bishops themselves fast?
Well, I don't think so, you know. But it's very hard for me after Father Flaherty gave me some of his homemade pfeffernuss and a little snort of spice rum punch. And there was my fast. It was right out the window.
Couldn't eat for weeks after that.
No. Okay, so another true and false.
You know, but I have to, sister, I don't do a lot of fasting during Advent. I try on different days to do it, but they do encourage it, right?
That's true. Okay. No, the bishops do. So, and we should.
And you should too. You're a sort of religious.
Well, yes, but
we've got to check her credentials next time she's on.
Lord.
Notice how we don't have the cameras on today.
That's so true. No, so because I don't have my wimple on, and that kind of stretches out all the wrinkles in my face. Anyway, we're moving on, dear.
We are.
Moving on. She used to do this in school, too. You know, I'm glad to see that all the... I checked back on her report card in the deportment grade. She had a needs to improve in talking
but
in class.
But I always played well with others, though, too.
No, but you ran with scissors, so that negates that.
True.
Okay, so it is the duty of every Catholic to go to confession during Advent.
Well, I know it is the duty of every Catholic to go to confession once a year, and most people choose Lent. We should be going to confession far more than once a year.
Well,
but I don't think, are we obligated during Advent?
No, not obligated, but I'm glad you brought up about going to confession more because ever since I caught you going through those boys' lunches in seventh grade, I don't know how Tony Art and Tim Lyons ever got a decent meal after you picked out the cheese doodles.
All the things I'm learning about you right now, Peggy. Wow.
Well, my mom always gave me carrot sticks and celery, and Tim and Tony's mom gave them packaged chips, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
I've always been a chips girl.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's go back to some of the original players in Advent. Here we got Joseph.
My favorite.
Yes. Joseph. Where was Joseph originally from?
Well, now that I would have to say is Bethlehem, because that's why he and Mary were traveling back to Bethlehem, the place of his birth, for the census. And it is, in fact, also the home of King David. And that is how Jesus is attributed to being in the lineage of King David.
That's right. But
did I get extra credit for that answer, sister?
No, dear. I don't give extra credit. I never did. Anyway. So yes, Joseph was going back to his hometown of Bethlehem, but you know, he worked in Nazareth. He was a commuter. There was no commuter lanes at the time. So
Mary was from Nazareth, I believe.
Well, there you go. So
and the traffic too.
Oh. The traffic. Oh, yeah. Those camel lines are terrible.
Never get behind a slow camel.
That's right. Okay. So who saw the star in the east?
Well, is this a trick question? I'm thinking the Magi followed the star from the east, but the shepherds also saw the star. They saw the star in the light.
Well, which is your answer, dear? You can't have it both ways.
Okay, I'm going to say the Magi.
Yes, you're right. Oh, now, a lot of people would say the three kings, but you know, the Magi saw the star, and we don't know how many Magi there were. Oh. And what were the Magi, actually?
They were wise men.
I don't know if that's an oxymoron we want to pursue today, but because, you know, did they ask for directions? No, they just kind of wandered around. And anyway,
they got there though.
They did get there eventually. They were really astronomers. And so, you know, we're going to give Neil deGrasse Tyson credit on that.
Because How about Carl Sagan?
There you go. But we're no spoon bending. Okay. All right. So, what did the angels say or sing when they came upon and saw Jesus in the manger?
Was it glory to God in the highest? And on earth, peace to people of goodwill?
That's right. Can you say it in Latin, dare now?
Apud Deum.
No. Okay.
That's
there
the
you go.
Of jewelry we were just
saying. Well, yes, I know.
No. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
And you got it. Which does not mean, oh, he looks like his father. No, it does not mean that. Okay, so here we go. Last questions. That's the last question. So we heard that the shepherds saw a heavenly host and were sore afraid. I don't know how they could be sore, but they were sore afraid.
They've been working all day.
So what is a heavenly host?
Well, a heavenly host is like an army of angels, a whole battalion of angels.
Yes, you're right. It is a heavenly army. They could have probably seen about 10,000 angels in the sky. So no wonder they were afraid. I don't know about how the sore part came in, but you know.
Well, sister, we're going to have to wrap it up because I have a couple of questions I'd like to ask you.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say that my idea of a heavenly host is one who keeps the wassail bowl above the midlight, but okie dokie.
One for my husband there. Very cute. So sister, what's your favorite Christmas hymn?
Well, it isn't the Little Drummer Boy. I can tell you that for sure. Do you see what I see? I like that one.
But it has
quite
to be sung well.
Oh, faith. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And what have you been doing, sister, since I saw you last?
Well, you know, there aren't many of us in schools anymore. So what I decided to do was parlay some of my strengths. And, you know, I'm Sister Merry Christmas. So I've got my own, website called MC Grammar Time. And, and we work on diagramming sentences and all of that that's so sorely needed in today's world because people can't tell a gerund from a preposition.
I can diagram me a sentence.
I know you can.
And you taught me well, sister. That's how I write. Diagram it.
Well, thank you, dear.
Well, it has been a gift and a pleasure to have you with us, Sister Merry Christmas. You'll have to come back and meet Sister Merry Easter, I think, sometime in the spring. Maybe get the two of you together.
Well, I think that might be good. I hear she's having a little bit of a problem with some Paschal dealings, but I'm sure they'll be sorted out by that time.
Is Sister, in parting from our listeners here who are meeting you for the first time, are there any Christmas practices you would like to discourage them from?
Well, okay, I saw this the other day on the freeway. You know, a lot of people are tempted to decorate their cars at Christmas time. And I, you know, the whole Rudolph thing where you put the big red nose on and the antlers sticking out of your, your windows. That has a certain charm. But, you know, above in that space between your back window and your back seat, please don't put a manger scene there. It's very distracting on the freeway.
Well, it obstructs your view. Yeah.
That's so true.
And it should be ahead of you. Always in your future, not in your past.
That's right, dear.
All right, sister. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. I hope I didn't disappoint you, Sister. Merry Christmas.
No, that happened a long time ago, and you're moving your way up from there, dear.
Well, God bless you, and I hope you have a very beautiful
Christmas.
Thank you,
Christmas,
dear. And a blessed remainder
of And a beautiful Christmas Mass. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, sister. Thank you for joining us. Well, that was kind of fun. Hey, we've been talking about gifts today, giving and receiving. Well, I've got an idea for a gift that won't cost you a cent. How about gifting your friends and family podcasts of some of your favorite EWTN shows? Now, I love it when someone takes the time to send me a link to a show or a clip of something that they think will be of interest to me. My sons do this a lot, and it lets me know they're thinking of me and that they're paying attention to what I would like or find interesting. You can do that with EWTN podcasts. Let's say Doug Keck on one of his EWTN bookmark shows, which comes on at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday afternoons, he interviewed an author that you think your sister would find compelling. In fact, today, Doug Keck is interviewing Carl Olson, author of Called to Be the Children of God. Or you hear Jeanette Bankovic on her Women of Faith show help a caller with an issue that a friend of yours is struggling with. Well, you can go to EWTN.com/podcast, find the show, copy the link, and send it to someone with a note that says, thought you'd enjoy this episode of Call Me Catholic, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a useful tool for all of our listeners. It's basically audio on demand. If you missed a show that you regularly listen to, no problem. Go to EWTN.com/podcast and check that out. You know, or maybe there's a show that is on the air at an inconvenient time, too early for you, or it's on when you're working. No problem. It's in the podcast library. Or just go in there and sample some shows you've never heard and you want to see if it interests you. EWTN wants to be accessible to you at all times in all ways. So remember to check out EWTN.com/podcast and listen to us whenever you want on your very own mobile device. Okay. Now,
it just dawned on me 20, 30 years from now, Call Me Catholic might be on EWTN Classic.
That's a sad thought. I don't want to be classic. I want to be hip. I want to be now. Okay. Now, Jimmy G, to wrap up our conversation on Christmas gift giving today. You see how I did that? Wrap up our conversation on gifts. I am going to introduce you to Greg Gumishian from Reddit Gifts. Hey, Greg, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
How are you? Well, first of all, I want you to very briefly, because I think this is a challenge for Reddit employees. My son works for Reddit. Tell us what Reddit is.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Well, see?
What I call Reddit is, you know, it's definitely a challenge. Reddit is kind of some people think of it as like a social outlet, but I think of it more of just a community of people coming together, talking about different subjects that interest you, and really from all around the world, different subjects, anything that you can think about, there's a topic for you on Reddit.
Yeah, if you went in there and said Catholics, there'd be a conversation going on about that.
Absolutely. Huge, huge Catholic community on Reddit.
So, Greg, you have a very specific calling in the Reddit organization. You deal with Reddit gifts. And as such, you guys established this Secret Santa program. So tell us when that started and how it works.
Sure. So Secret Santa started about 9 years ago. There was a Redditor, and that's what we call a user who uses Reddit, a Redditor. A Redditor came up with the idea, thought it would be really cool around this time of year to collect some names from other Redditors, put them all together, match them, and do a Secret Santa just with different users. And it was really cool, well-received, and so he did it again the next year. And then he started to realize that we've got something here. Let's make something called Reddit Gift, where we just give gifts to each other year-long. And that's kind of how it started.
Oh, so it's not even just exclusively at Christmas time.
No, throughout the year, we've got exchanges going on. We've got, like, T-shirts. We've got snacks. We do really funny exchanges. Like, this year we worked with, you know, the actor Val Kilmer to do an exchange just about himself. So, you know, we've got a lot of weird things happening on Reddit Gift.
Well, it's interesting to me that people would sign up to, you know, exchange gifts anonymously with people that they don't know. They're never really going to get a personal thank you from. They're never going to meet. We already have so many gift demands on our list as it is. So what do you think prompts people to get involved like this?
You know, it's interesting because I see so many different folks from all the walks of life participating in Reddit Gifts. And really what it boils down to, I think, is just the fact that people inherently like being nice to other people.
I like that.
And they just like to give gifts and see other people be happy. I know that's why I started to participate so many years ago, and that's why I continue to participate. So it's just something about seeing another person happy, something about seeing another person in smile. I think that's really what it's all about.
Well, and these are personal gifts. Now, I'm going to tell you about, now, we do have a son that works at Reddit, not in your department, but in another department. And we also have a son that signed up for this Secret Santa Reddit. And he was sharing with us this week about how thrilled he was with the gift he got from this anonymous person. I guess you fill out a little form that gives you, gives the person some information about you, nothing incriminating. Mm-hmm. And then they in turn send you something that they think would fit. And what was really cool is I think this person sent him a tangible gift, but then he also made a contribution to a local, youth center, because I guess Charlie had mentioned in his form that he liked working with young people. And he was so touched that somebody would kind of go to that trouble from another part of the country to figure out where there's a youth center in the region where Charlie lives and donate to him in his name. I think that's just fantastic.
Yeah, and it's stories like that that we're hearing on Reddit every day. And those are the stories really that make Reddit Gifts such an amazing program. Like you said, the donation, that I feel like when you get something so personal like that, and make those connections online, that's what makes the power of gift giving so really so powerful.
And what are some of the do you have any parameters for the gifts? Is there a price range or you know, any other kind of definitive qualifiers for the gift exchange?
So the monetary value, we say only about $20. And, you know, I think most people can try and afford $20. And then the other thing that we say is just make sure that it's heartfelt. Make sure that it's a meaningful, thoughtful gift. And we see tons of those, but then again, you'll see gifts that are just way over the top.
Mm-hmm.
For example, people will give, like round trip airfare to go on a trip somewhere.
Wow.
People will give, you know, like Xboxes, or people will give, just things that you would never believe a stranger would want to give you. and it's crazy. And then again, we also have a lot of celebrities that participate too. One of the most popular, I'm sure, if anybody out there has heard about Reddit Gifts before, you may have heard about it through the fact that we have Bill Gates participating every year.
Uh-huh.
And he is a fantastic giver, because you can assume that he has the monetary means.
We can assume that, yes. It's a fair assumption.
But on top of that, he makes his gifts so thoughtful, so well researched, and it's really great.
Well, do you, how do you determine who gets Bill Gates? I mean, who Bill Gates gets? I mean, are these random choices, or do you sort of say, I like this person. This is a friend of mine in Atlanta. Let's give him, Bill Gates.
No way. No. We, believe it or not, it is very random. We definitely do a check before just to make sure that the person that he receives is, going to be a good fit. But the matching is completely random.
So that's a big job, though. That's a huge job for you.
It's a responsibility. Yep, it definitely is. So it is. But it's fun, you know. And people are good. We trust that people are going to do the right thing. So whether it's just, you know, if it's me matching with somebody or you get a celebrity, doesn't matter. You're signing up for Reddit Gifts for a reason, and that's because you want to do something nice for someone else.
So now, Greg, also, is when you sign up, you become a recipient, too. So Bill Gates has some – did somebody pick Bill Gates as their anonymous?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. And what do you give Bill Gates?
That's correct, yeah. I'm sorry?
What do you give Bill Gates? I mean, I don't think he needs any chargers.
Yeah. I think Bill – you know, whenever Bill signs up, he's really into receiving donations as well, or having somebody take the time to do something personal for him. So, for example, last year, I think that his Santa had gone to a local animal shelter and taken his time to take photographs of some of the animals that were in the shelter so that that shelter could use for their website. And I think that was a gift for Bill.
So really cool, kind of creative things. You know what? I think people actually enjoy this exchange with someone that they have no responsibility with. It's just like, it's a random act of kindness kind of thing. And you don't
Absolutely.
Need the thank you. You don't need the thank you note in the mail, or the reciprocity. It's just a pure generous impulse. And I think people enjoy that.
Absolutely.
How many people on average participate? How many of your Redditors?
You know, before we used to go for a Guinness World Record each year, And at our peak, we've got over 212,000 people to sign up for the exchange.
We've stopped.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? The number blows my mind. We've stopped going for the exchange, world record every year because we just keep repeating it over and over.
you keep breaking your own record
every year. So on average now, we get about between 110 to 120,000 users each year.
Oh, I love that. Well, hey, Greg Gumishian, thank you. It's been a gift talking to you today. Thanks for sharing some good news about the human race.
Oh, thank you so much. And like you were mentioning earlier, your son works for Reddit, and I'm a great friend of his, and when he mentioned that there was an opportunity to talk to you, I told him, absolutely, count me in.
Hey, that's awesome. Thank you so much. That's the spirit of the season. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Greg, and come back again sometime.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. God bless. Hey, that's going to be a wrap-up on our show on gift-giving today, and we hope you've enjoyed it. We got another really fun Christmas show for you next week with interviews from Raymond Arroyo, Jeanette Bankovic, Debbie Giorgiani, and Father Mitch Pacwa, so you don't want to miss that really fun Christmas variety show. But just tune in and join us again next week. Until then, I am Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.